Let's get our Bibles out and let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I promise I will not be long tonight. We have a little bit of a drive. It's not that far, but it's a little bit of a drive to get to where we're going to be going tonight. But I felt this on my heart and want to just, it was maybe born out of our Bible study last night a little bit. And we were talking about foundations. And anything you build has got to be built on a foundation. And if it's not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it's not going to make it. It's going to crumble. But let's look at this here tonight. 1 Corinthians 13, starting with verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But where there be, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that's Jesus Christ coming the second time, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest, everybody said the greatest. The greatest of these is charity. Amen. I want to talk to us tonight for just a little bit about the foundation of spirituality. The foundation of being spiritual. Amen. Of walking with God in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Praise God. Isn't it good to be here? Amen. It's good to be here. When we look at this here tonight, when we look at what I just commented about, when you build something, it has to be built upon a foundation. The foundation is important, but it's important that we build the foundation according to the blueprint. If you want to build a house the size of this sanctuary, but you only put in a foundation that's half this size, you're not going to be able to build the whole building. It's going to fall short. And so it's not just a matter of pouring concrete in a hole or digging down to a rock. There has to be a plan. There has to be something that we build this foundation off of, the blueprint. The plan, the master plan. And so what we see here tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is that foundation. And you could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but it talks about the spiritual gifts. Amen. And there's a lot that's being said about the spiritual gifts, a lot that has been said about the spiritual gifts. And the Bible plainly declares to us that we should desire spiritual gifts. Amen. And chapter 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. And he says in another place that... in verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And so He gives to us here the reality of prophecy. He gives us here the reality of tongues and interpretation of tongues. He gives us the reality of the gift of faith, the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, miracles, the gift of miracles and healing, and all of the gifts, the nine gifts of the Spirit. All of those nine gifts, I categorize them into three different categories, and that would be to do supernaturally, to speak supernaturally, and to know supernaturally. And so they are given to the church. It's still for us today. It's still for us today. Prophecy is still for us today. And we know that the prophecies of the Scripture are true, and they have come to pass, and they are coming to pass. But when we talk about walking with God, it's not so much being super spiritual and hearing voices and always having a word from the Lord. There's something that's a little bit more practical than that, that shows us what it is that that we must possess if we are going to truly be spiritual and to walk with God. And he doesn't put down the gifts of the Spirit, not at all. They are in operation. Jesus said in one place, "Ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full." And there's nothing like having a promise and then that promise coming to pass. Like whoever it was that was talking about the bicycle in the closet. And they prayed for it, and there it was. Amen. There's nothing more exciting than having a prayer answered by the Lord in a miraculous way. But in reality, when we think about it here tonight, prophecy is something that is going to come to pass. But when it comes to pass, the prophecy is no longer valid. Amen. Because it's already come to pass. If you talk about the gifts of the Spirit, you could talk about the gift of healing. If we look at that, the gift of healing is a temporary thing. It's not permanent. It's not long-lasting. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, didn't he? And when he raised him from the dead, Lazarus is not with us anymore. He was one of the few people in this world that got to die twice. Amen. The first time he was buried, and he was in the grave for 4 days, and the Bible says that he was beginning to stink. Amen. Decomposition had set in. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to go through that. Amen. But it was a miracle, and it was a wonderful thing when God raised him from the dead, but he had to go and die again. And the same with other miracles we could talk about tonight. The gifts of the Spirit are temporary. They're not designed to be eternal. But there is something that is eternal, and that is the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us that what we need to have is charity. There is something about charity that he brought out more than any of the gifts of the Spirit, and talked about it as the most important thing that we could possess to be a spiritual child of God. Amen. And he says, and I it slipped my mind, we've got a little bitty bell about that big. And my little grandson, he liked that bell. He wanted to get his hands on that. But it's a little bitty brass bell. And we'd walk around the house, and I'd show him all kinds of things, pick the bell up and ring it. He thought that was just the coolest thing in the world. I was going to bring that little bell tonight and just go ting-ling-ling-ling-ling. I was looking on my phone before church to find a sound of a small bell. Amen. A little tinkling cymbal, a little bitty bell. You know, when we see the gifts of the Spirit in operation, if we don't have a foundation upon which they sit, then we can just get our little bell out and ring it, and that's the biggest sound that we're going to make in heaven. Praise God. I want to just go through this just for a little bit here tonight, and I promise I'm not going to take a long time, but there's some very important things here. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I'm as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And there it is, though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, so that I can have all faith and remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Everybody said nothing. And nothing means nothing. Amen. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. That literally means zero, nothing. And we are nothing if our spiritual exercises are based upon something other than charity or love. We'll just use the word love tonight. And he goes on and he says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Amen. It profits me nothing. Now that's getting pretty radical about things, where you give your body to be burned, and you go out and you feed the poor, and you do all of these good deeds. But the Bible says that if you don't have charity, it does not profit us anything. There's no profit to it. There's nothing. It's like that little bitty bell. If you can just imagine a little tinkling bell, some people pride themselves in feeding the poor, and I'm not against that at all. And though I give my body to be burned, there are many that have had their bodies to be burned. They were burned at the stake, but there is something about it. If our deeds and our actions and our life is not based upon a solid foundation of love, then it means nothing. We could gain the whole world, but it's not going to do us any good if we don't have a foundation upon which it rests. Amen. Joseph had a foundation, and when he became the prime minister of the world, he didn't lose it. He made it all the way, and he could handle all of this riches. He could handle all of the blessings that came his way because there was something down in his heart. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do it the right way. I've got the right attitude about life. And so now he begins to describe charity, and he says, charity suffereth long. Everybody said suffers long. That doesn't mean that you are in suffering a long time. That's not what that means. To suffer means to put up with. One of the commentaries said that there were contentions and strife here in the Corinthian church, and we know that by the writings of Paul. There was strife, there was contention, and of course we could understand that there were suspicions and jealousies, and there was unkind judging, and people were imputing improper motives to other people, and they were selfish. They were filled with envy and pride and boasting, and yet he said charity suffers long. Amen. We can get caught up in some things and think we're doing the right thing and be doing the exact opposite. What we've got to go back to is that foundation of love. God so loved that he gave. Amen. We're here tonight because of God's love. You're going to be here this next week because of God's love. You're going to be here in 20 or 30 years because of God's love. Praise the Lord. That's right. We stand and we fall on the love of God. And because we have the Holy Ghost, because we have the Spirit of God in us, then we too should have the love of God. He said charity suffers long. It doesn't give up easily. It just keeps right on going. And it is kind. Everybody said kind. And that word there means to show oneself useful, or acting benevolently, or being kind. It's really self-explanatory there. It's not being rude. It's not being crude. It's not being offensive, but it is being kind. Amen. I'll tell you what, God's a kind God. Amen. How many's ever failed God? I got my hand up, done things you shouldn't have done. And, you know, the Lord doesn't carry around a billy club and knock our heads off the moment that we do something wrong. I was talking to someone a while ago, and they were telling me that when you walk into a church that they were in, that on a board is all of the rules of the church, all of the laws of the church. And I said, you know what? If you start putting the laws of your laws on the wall of the church, before you know it, every wall is going to have some kind of a commandment on there. And when people come into the house of God, it's going to be a house of law. It's not going to be a house of freedom from the sin that comes by the law that Brother Mason talked about. And I'll tell you what, we're not going to do that here because kindness is what God is all about. It's a part of God. God is kind. He is gracious. He has loving kindness, the Bible says. And he is very kind. None of us deserve to be here tonight. None of us deserve to have the Holy Ghost, but we have it, and we are here tonight because God is a kind God. And so if we're going to build a life of spirituality, then that foundation is going to have kindness in it. And then he goes a little bit further, and he says, charity envieth not. And it is to have a feeling for or against. Amen. And in the context of this scripture, it says if we really have a foundation of love, then we will not envy. Brother Mike, I pray that God blesses you real good. Amen. And when he does, I'm not going to be envious of that. I'm not going to say, God, why did you bless Brother Mike and didn't bless me? You know, love goes beyond self. And love says, I want somebody else to be blessed, and I rejoice when they are blessed. Praise God. I'm blessed when they're blessed. That does not take away from me when your blessings come. Brother Deontay, Melissa, I pray God blesses you guys really great. Amen. And you make a lot of money and you buy yourself a nice big home in a nice part of town. And it's in a nice part of town now. But a brand new car out in the driveway. You know what? I'm not going to be envious of that and say, God, why did you do that for them and not for me? Amen. I'm going to jump up and down and shout and thank God when the raise comes. I'm going to thank God when victory comes. And because love does not envy. And then he goes on and he says, love does not vaunt itself. And what it literally means is to brag. To brag. You know, I could give tongues an interpretation, but if I go around bragging about it, I'm not spiritual. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not building a spiritual foundation based upon what I have done. It's not what I could do that makes me what I am. It's who is in me that makes me what I am. If it is my flesh that is in me, then that's who I am. But if it's the Holy Ghost in me, then that's who I am. Praise God. And my boast is not in me, it is in the Lord. You know, there's a lot of this going around today that relationships, it's a fallacy, but it is what I call performance-based relationships. And that simply means that if you do this, then I will do this. And if you don't do this, then I'm not going to do that. And it is based solely and completely upon performance. Jesus had that in his day as well. And there's someone that he talked about in a parable, and he said there were two men that came into the church, right? One was in the back and one was in the front. And the one in the back wouldn't even lift his head up, but he beat his chest and he said, "Be merciful to me, Lord. I'm just a sinner. I'm not anybody important. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. And I'm so thankful that I could come in and sit in the back row of the church." Amen. And I'm not promoting sitting on the back row of the church tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he was doing that in the back, but then the man in the front, if you remember the story, he begins to tell the Lord all the things that he has done. And maybe he wasn't just telling the Lord, maybe he was reminding himself. And he was going back over the list again just to make sure that his position was good. He said, "I fast 3 times a week." Now, that's pretty good. Amen. He must have been a skinny guy. And fasted 3 times a week. He prayed. He gave alms to the people. And he was about to break his arm from patting himself on the back. And the Lord said, "This guy does not have a foundation, but the man in the back that's not worthy, that doesn't feel worthy, he's got a solid foundation upon which he rests." Amen. You see, our relationship with God is not based upon what we do. It is based upon who we are in him, how close we are to God, how much we seek him, and by what spirit and attitude we seek him. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, I'm not worthy to stand here and to give this little Bible study. Amen. I'm not worthy, amen, to stand in the pulpit and to minister the word of the Lord. I'm just not worthy to be here. Praise God. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm so thankful that he opened the door that I could be here. And I don't want to become bragging. Amen. And that's what that word means, to brag. So if we're bragging, we're not spiritual. We got to remember that. Amen. And then he said, let's go a little bit further. It vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. Amen. And unseemly means not fit or becoming. It is uncomely. Comely means good looking. Comely means it fits in the right place. Unseemly means that it does not fit in that right place. It is unbecoming or indecent. And one example that I found, it said, "My son, let your unseemly discord cease." And let your words that are not right, just stop them. Because spirituality is not based upon being unseemly, but being fit. There's a scripture that says that a word fitly spoken, a word that is spoken in a seemly manner, is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Amen. I'd like to see that picture. Some people paint pictures, and I forget who it was. They were saying, Brother Scott's youngest boy, John, he's getting into painting and that sort of thing. And he does some abstracts. You know, I've never figured those things out, where they just take stuff and they splash it on there and they sell it for $100,000. I think they've got the wool pulled over somebody's eyes. Amen. And but a picture, there's something about a picture. A picture says 1,000 words, doesn't it? And so when we do things that are fit, it goes well. It is because of love. Amen. Then he says, love does not seek her own. There's probably no more striking or important expression in the New Testament than this one. And it beautifully sets the stage here for us to understand the spiritual foundation. Love does not seek her own. Love The opposite of love, some would say it's hate, but it's not. The opposite of love is lust. Lust does not seek her own, or love does not seek her own. I'm going to get it right here tonight. Lust only seeks for what it can get for itself. And we can talk in tongues, and we can run the aisles, and we can prophesy. We can give tongues and interpretation. We can feed the poor. We can do all of these things. But Jesus said in one place, he said, I will say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And could it be tonight that when we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that the things that we're looking at here are either iniquity or righteousness? Amen. We cannot build a spiritual foundation upon iniquity, but it must be based upon righteousness. Amen. Love does not seek her own. And then he goes on and he says, love is not easily provoked. Amen. Somebody said, easily provoked. Provoke. Amen. There's a place in the scriptures, I believe it's in the New Testament, and it says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Amen. Don't provoke them. When you provoke, you say things that incites anger. But he says, love is not easily provoked, and it means to rouse to anger or to excite indignation or wrath. And it is not provoked to anger. And the word easily here, it says in one of the translations or in one of the commentaries that the word easily was not expressed in the original, but it was added for continuity of thought. Whether that's true or not, you can look at it easier either way, and you can say love is not easily provoked, or you can say love is not provoked. Amen. Amen. Now, I believe that there is a time for anger. Amen. And the scripture says, be angry, but sin not. And so there's got to be a place for our anger to rest upon, and that is love. Amen. Before we get upset about something, we need to think about what our anger is going to do to somebody else. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I believe tonight that love is the center of unity as well. Amen. And then it says, love thinketh no evil. And what that means is, the expression of this is, that it puts the best possible construction on the motives, the actions of others. Amen. Thinketh no evil. There's really not a devil under every rock. Some people say, well, the devil did that to me. And I say, well, maybe he did. Sometimes it's not God, sometimes it's not the devil, it's just life. And people that have motives, well, praise God, here it comes. And they're angry, amen, they're thundering away. But real love does not think evil of others, amen. And it means to love. And when we are under the influence of love, it is not malicious. It is not disposed to find fault or to impute improper motives to others. Amen. And so when we have love, we don't think any evil. Somebody said, praise the Lord. And then verse 6, he said, it rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And it does not rejoice in iniquity. In other words, I take from that tonight, and maybe this isn't the exact way to look at it, but I'm not happy when somebody backslides. I'm not happy. Let's look at a scripture, Proverbs 24 and verse 17. I'll just read it for you tonight. Proverbs 24 and 17. Excuse me. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn his wrath from him. Amen. Well, when we love, when we really have love in our hearts, then we're not going to rejoice when our enemy falls. The Lord said, when thine enemy falleth. You know, our enemy may not be God's enemy. Amen. Praise the Lord. That person that's giving you such a hard time on the job, and you look at them as your enemy, or maybe they look at you as their enemy, when they stumble and fall, don't laugh at them and say, see, I told you so. But real love says, you know, I want you to get back up again, and hopefully you'll learn from this, and I'm just going to keep on loving you no matter what. Amen. Praise God. This is the foundation for spirituality. We can't be spiritual unless we follow the guidelines here in the Word of God. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Love bears all things, and it doesn't say what it bears, but it says it bears all things. Amen. What that simply means is it endures without telling everybody around it what they are enduring. Amen. Love bears all things. That's the exact translation of this here tonight. And it literally means holding fast like a watertight vessel. Amen. That's what that means. And so if we're going to be spiritual, then what we need to do when someone is not treating us right, we don't lash back out at them, but what we do is we hold it in. I know there's a time and a place to talk about things, but I'm telling you, take it to the Lord and tell the Lord what you're going through. Praise God, and hold it in. It bears all things. I'm going to bear this. You know, I've seen people that have their children have backslid and left the church, and it hurts tremendously. It is a tremendous hurt. But I'm proud of some of you and how you treat your children, even though they're not living for God. And the reason you do that is because of love. Amen. Every time you see them, you don't put them down and preach to them, but you just simply love them. That's the mark of spirituality. Praise God. That's a mark of spirituality. Love believes all things, unsuspiciously believes, amen, it's, you know, going to work out. Everything's going to be all right. Praise God. All things, we know that all things work together for the good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know that. We believe all things. That doesn't mean that we believe all doctrines, but we believe in people. We just keep on believing in them, even though they're not doing good at that time. Love hopeth all things. Amen. And, you know, there are times when I've given up hope. Has anybody ever given up hope? I'm just not going to reach that person. I'm just not going to make an impact into their life. And if we don't have love, we're going to stop. But when we hope all things, we continue to hope. Even we hope for them even if they've lost hope. Amen. And we continue without ceasing to believe in them. You know, it doesn't hurt me at all if I tell someone. And my nephew, he's a very positive person. And he says, I've got a son-in-law that's not a Christian. And his idea of Christian is a little different than mine. But he said, When I go to God and pray for him, I say, God, I thank you for a spiritual son-in-law. And I thought, now that's really awesome. That when you go to God in prayer and you're praying for someone, you don't say, God, kill them. Amen. God, take all their money away from them. No, but love says, God, I thank you for what I believe that you're going to do. Amen. I hope all things. I endure all things. Amen. Endurance there in patience. We must be patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. Amen. Love goes the second mile. It doesn't have motives, but it continues on. And then to finish this here tonight, love never fails. Amen. And it's superior to the gifts of the Spirit. It's the foundation. No building is going to stand without a foundation. And if I had my little bell, you could just imagine a little bell tonight. That's all I'm going to be. It's a tinkling cymbal if I don't have love in my heart. If I don't have the love of God. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, we used to sing that scripture. And it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Isn't that powerful tonight?
Amen.
That's powerful. Let us love one another. And so love is not a feeling that we have in our heart, but it's decisions that we make, it's actions that we take, it's the words that we say. Praise God. And we must love one another. And if we can work on this right here, those different aspects of love, I'll tell you what it'll do for your home, what it'll do for you on your job, what it'll do in the church is it will foster unity. Amen. Openness, love, and caring for one another. Praise God. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Let's stand together tonight. I'll turn you loose into the storm. But you'll make it because you bear all things.
Amen.
Praise God. Lord, we thank you for the word of God tonight. And I thank you for these precious people that are here tonight praying and seeking your face. I pray your hand upon them the rest of this week. And I pray your hand upon the church that's not here tonight, but at the camp meeting. And we pray the blessings of God upon each and every one. And go with us and help us to remember to pray for one another as we go from this place in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.